Just a joke. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of his good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. You may be seated. So again, this is a continuation of Jesus in his, telling the Pharisees they were guilty of blasphemy for the things that they were saying. And what they were saying was that Jesus was casting out demons by Beelzebub, or Beelzebul, which is another name for Satan. So this morning, Lord now goes on to compare the words the people speak with the fruit that's in their life. Now this is a strong statement from our Savior. When you read this, it's a strong statement from him. And the fundamental question is, how Christ-like is our speech? Okay, so we'll maybe be thinking about that this morning. Now think about this. People will give an account for every idle word or every careless word that they may use. Now that's a pretty strict judgment. Wouldn't you agree with that? Just think about that for a minute. Let that resonate in your heart just for a minute. In verse 34 in the New King James, it says, "For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks." If you would have an NASB this morning, it would say, "For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart," which I kind of like the way that said. Go to Matthew. Hold your place there in Matthew 12. Just jump over to Matthew 15, verse 10. It says, when he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, "Hear and understand, not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man." Then his disciples came and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? But he answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into the ditch." Peter answered and said to him, "Explain the parable to us." And so Jesus said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and it is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth," listen to what he says here, "come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts." Just think about that for a minute. "Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man." We see then it's not what goes into the man that defiles him, but what comes out of him. So what comes out of the person in their speech will show good things like love, right? Joy, peace, long-suffering, those things are the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. Go back to Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5. We used this verse last week, touched on it a little bit. But Galatians chapter 5, those things that would come out of a person in speech and in conduct. Remember, what's inside is what comes out, right? So if I'm filled with the Spirit of God and I'm filled with Him and I'm, all my life is taking things of Him that in good things, the Spirit of God is going to produce some great things in me. Love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness. That's in verse 22 if you're looking for that. 22 and on, yeah, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So think about that for a minute. It's either going to be that or our speech will reveal the bad fruit that's in our life. That which is named in chapter 5, verses 17 to 21. And it says, for the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another so that you do not do the things you wish. That was kind of brought up this morning, wasn't it? How many of us do the things sometimes we don't want to do? Amen. We know better though, don't we? Okay. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Which I told you beforehand, just as the Lord told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now look at that list, and how many things are done with the mouth? You ever notice that? Heresies. Jealousies. Outbursts of wrath. Dissensions. And the like. The picture here is that the heart is a kind of vessel that things are poured into. And at a certain point, the vessel will overflow and an abundance will come out of it. So when we pour information into our minds, we process it, we store it, we meditate on it, and once our minds are full of whatever we're putting in there, the thoughts break out in words, they'll break out in plans, they'll break out in speech and behavior. What goes in comes out. Evil thoughts allowed in, evil speech, evil behavior come out. Is that true?
Yeah, that's true.
Just watch some time. How many like talk radio? How many listen to talk radio? Like, come on, you're in Idaho. How many listen to talk radio? Oh, now more hands, all right? You ever notice what happens? This isn't a thing against talk radio, but let's just process this. What happens when you listen to talk radio all the time? What? Do you get angry? Do you get angry? Don't you? Oh, I hate the government this isn't a political sermon. My point is what you listen to all the time and you take in, it begins to affect the way you are. Okay? Well, all of it. Right? Okay? Doesn't it? How many have friends that all they do is complain? What will you find yourself doing eventually?
Complaining.
It's like quicksand. It'll suck you in and the next thing you know, you're just like that person. Okay? You know, the Bible is right when it says bad company corrupts good morals. You hang around the poison, pretty soon you're poisoned. But, you know, garbage in, garbage out. Think of the shows that people watch. Right? I never in my lifetime would have thought that, well, this is going to get off the subject here a little bit, that we would watch TV, people would watch TV about other people living their lives. Isn't that crazy? Like reality TV? Get off the couch and go do something. And don't watch somebody else doing it. But then we start to think like those people that we watch on TV here on the radio. And you get the idea. Evil thoughts allowed in, evil speech and evil behavior come out. Now the standards of God are much different than those of the world. If we went to Isaiah, go to Isaiah and go to chapter 55. You know, God thinks different than you and I do. Are you glad about that?
Amen.
Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways or your ways my ways, says the Lord. I'm so glad about that. God does not think like I do. He thinks better than I do. He thinks higher than I do. You have an all-knowing God who knows everything. He is omniscient. He knows things eternally. You know what that means? As long as God has existed, He knows everything. Which means He knows everything about you. He knows, that's why He can say, look, like in Jeremiah, I knew you in the womb before you were knit together. How is that possible? Because His thoughts are greater than our thoughts. If He did not have thoughts greater than me, He would not be God. And if my thoughts were the same as His, I would be equal to Him. And I'm not. That's why God knows so much. And it is amazing to me how people really can't stand that God is all-knowing. I don't know how many people I've run into that are offended that God knows even about them and has their life planned out. Wow. But He says here, for as the heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. That's a great statement about God. His standards are, the things God thinks are higher than me. There is no sin in the Lord at all. So out of His thoughts come only what? Good things. Now, a striking example of the difference in people's speech today. The world thinks lightly of certain kinds of words or speech, thinking nothing of that which is profane. One can be guilty in several ways, really, when you think about it. Using the Lord's name in vain, that is, when you say, okay, when we talk about using the Lord's name in vain, that's not just cursing. The word vain means useless. We talk about God in a useless manner. Let's go to Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. Using the Lord's name without... Let me read it here, and I'll tell you. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7. Now, as I'm going through these things, think about how much words we've used that are idle or worthless that someday people would have to give an account for. Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. That word in vain in the Hebrew means useless. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes the name in vain. Now we think, well, if I use the name of Jesus in a cursing matter, or the name of God in a cursing manner, that's taking the Lord's name in vain. It's much, much more than that. It's having casual conversation about God that doesn't have reverence for Him. It's putting the name of God in high esteem. His name is above every name. Even the Jewish people today won't say the name of God. There's a reverence for Him. That's the one thing we really do lack as Christians. We don't have a reverence for the Lord all the time. You think about every time you mention the name of the King, that you would stop and bow a knee or pray or praise Him, but we don't. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Go to Philippians chapter 2. Using the Lord's name in a curse word. Think about that. And just think about our speech sometimes. Huh? I won't ask here who's ever used the Lord's name in a cursing way. But I'm sure most people have at one time. And there are some who haven't. I understand that. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9-11. It's up there on the screen. You can see that. It says, therefore God also has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now just thinking about that verse, and we always read this verse as, Oh, someday everybody's going to bow a knee. Read it again. At the name of Jesus. When the name of Jesus is spoken, what's your response? Every knee should bow. And every tongue confess. We have always treated this verse as, oh, someday that's going to happen. And that is true. But at the name of Jesus, when the name of Jesus is spoken in your presence, what's your response? Or how do you talk about the name of Jesus? 1 Peter chapter 3. Go to 1 Peter 3, verses 8 and 10. 1 Peter 3. Finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. When we think about words that we're going to be accountable for, idle words, think of how you talk about or to one another as Christians. Now, and look at what it says again here, because we're talking about what comes out of us, right? Think about what comes out of us as Christian or as people. Do we have reverence for the Lord's name? When we talk about the Lord, is there reverence? When we talk to about brothers and sisters in Christ, are we of one mind? Do we have compassion for one another? Do we love as brothers? Are we tender-hearted towards each other? Are we courteous? Do we return evil for evil? Reviling for reviling? Those are speech things. Those are words. When somebody's talking bad about you, what's your response back to them? Or when somebody's talking about a brother or sister in your presence, what's your response around them? Do you join in? Because every word you speak, well, you'll be held accountable for that. Blessing, do you bless, knowing that you were called to do what? That you were called to bless, so you would inherit a blessing. That's what this verse says. What's the Christian supposed to do when he talks? He's supposed to bless, not curse. So if blessings aren't coming out of my mouth towards a person, I'm wrong. Okay. See? Now I look back at my life, how many words have not been a blessing? How many words have not edified or blessed a brother? Rather, it's put him down or cursed or destroyed or did destruction. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Who here this morning is an exact representation of Christ? We're supposed to be. Be imitators of Christ as dear children. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Saints meaning those who are sanctified, set apart, they are God's people. You don't become a saint at death, you are a saint as a believer. Neither filthiness. You know, think about what's being said here. These things shouldn't even be named in us. You could, in other words, if your name is brought up in an arena of conversation, they couldn't pin any of these things on you. Nor filthiness, nor foolish what? Talking. How many here talk foolishly? Now, everybody. That's exactly right. There isn't a person in here who hasn't talked foolishly. You can tell what's in a person's heart the minute they start talking. You ever notice that? How is it that you know you're in the presence of a believer who is really a strong believer? Because it's the way they talk. How do you know you're in the midst of one who isn't? Because of the way they talk. So what does it say here? Look what it says. Nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting. Anybody here ever been, you know, that's just getting to the edge of filth. And, you know, kind of raw in your talking, but you're not really crossing the line where it's cursing yet. You know, those borderline filthy jokes and the making fun of people and all those things that people laugh at. So what does it say here? Coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving thanks. Okay, here's the thing. What comes out of the believer, remember, blessing comes out of the believer's life? What should be said about me every time I open my mouth? That guy thanks the Lord every time he talks. And he gives thanks for those around him and people. And so the giving of thanks, for this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. How do you know that? By the way they talk. Wow. Now, the Word of God gives us several examples of unacceptable speech. Did you know that? Go to James chapter 1. James 1. I was going through and I just looking at how many things are not appropriate. James chapter 1, verse 26. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. So here I'm going to start talking about the tongue a little bit. So jump over to James 3 and verses 2 through 12 right in there. We could actually start with 1. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. Anybody want my job? You can have it. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the body, or the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Also, they are so large and are driven by fierce winds. They are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire can kindle. Anybody ever start a forest fire with your tongue? Yes, we have. Look what it says here. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by what? Hell. For every kind of beast and bird or reptile or creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it, now listen to this, with it, this little piece of flesh here, which, by the way, only speaks what's in here. This doesn't speak anything that's not here. So, if I have an issue with my tongue, what's going on in here? So what does it say? With it we bless God, our God and Father, and with it we curse men, who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not be so. Wow. Does a spring send forth fresh water? Now this is almost like what we're reading in Matthew chapter 12. A good tree and a bad tree. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. If I am a bad tree, there's no way good fruit's coming out of my mouth. If I'm a good tree, bad fruit's not going to come out of my mouth. And that's what he's telling us in Matthew chapter 12. So let's go to Words, Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs 29. How many say things without thinking? Oh yeah, I'm guilty. I'm guilty. I think everybody here probably is at one time or other. Proverbs 29 and verse 20. Do you see a man hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Sometimes I can use words in haste. That's also in Proverbs, let's go to Proverbs 6:16. How many speak evil of those around you? Or have in your life done that? Verse 16. Six things the Lord what? Hates. You mean there's something God hates?
Yeah.
Well, there's six things He hates. But seven are an abomination to Him. What's the word abomination mean? They absolutely make Him sick.
Yes.
Okay? So let's look at them. A proud look. Okay? Pride. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. That's not in just the taking of the life in a physical way, but also what you might do verbally. The heart that devises wicked plans, plans for deceit, plans for destruction, plans to destroy someone else's life, whether by a physical means or by verbal. Feet that runs are swift in running to evil, that quickly go to sin. A false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord amongst the brethren. God hates that. But that's how we can use our tongue. And again, it's about what's in our heart. What about Psalm chapter 12? Go to Psalm 12. Let's go the opposite way here. In Psalm 12. And the first four verses of Psalm chapter 12. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful disappear from among the sons of men. They speak idly, everyone with his neighbor, with what? Flattering lips. And a double heart they speak. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaks proud things. Who have said, with our tongue we will prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? So I can use my tongue even in a way that says, look, Lord, I'm going to do this, and what are you going to do to stop me? We as a nation are going to do this and this and this. Because we are good and we are great and we are mighty. See how the tongue might be used that way. Romans 16 verse 18 would say, let me read that for you. It would say it this way. Romans 16:18. It would say, for those who are such do not serve the Lord Jesus Christ, but with their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech they deceive the hearts of the simple. So I could speak words in haste. I could speak evil of those around me. I could speak with flattery or pride. I could even, as it says in Ephesians chapter 4, go there, Ephesians 4 verse 29, and it says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. So you can see there's the Word of God gives several examples, and I, of course, didn't touch on all of them this morning, of what might be unacceptable speech or talk or words that we might utter with our mouth. But on the opposite side of that, there are things that are acceptable that we can use, words that we can use, speech we can use. One is right here that I just read, Ephesians 4:29. I can use my mouth to edify. I can use it to build up. I can, Colossians chapter 4, look at Colossians 4 in verse 6. And it says, let your speech always be with what? Grace. I can use my tongue for grace. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt. You know what that means? The words that come out of my mouth should taste good to somebody else. Okay? They're not bitter. They're not full of anger. They're not full of hurt. They're full of love and compassion and mercy. And yeah, there might be times where you might have to speak a hard thing into someone's life, but it's in love and mercy and grace. Seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one, it says. Proverbs 15, go back and forth. You're going to get dizzy. Proverbs chapter 15. In verse 1, Proverbs 15, 1. Proverbs 15. Notice this. What does it say? It says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. You ever wonder why people get angry with one another? A lot of times it's what's being said. A soft answer turns away wrath. It's funny. People want arguments. You know, somebody wants to get into an argument, but they can't argue with themselves. They only can argue if you argue back. But I can use my tongue to speak softly to somebody, and so on. Okay, so you get the idea there. Now I read once that the average person engages in 30 conversations a day. Think about that. Again, we're talking about idle words. What do I use my mouth for? 30 conversations a day. Some may be more, some may be less. All right. Every day our words, if you break them down, each of us will spend about 13 years of our life just talking. Some of you more. Some of you less.
Don't even look at me.
I didn't. I don't look at anybody. Every day our words could, at that rate, could write a book of 50 or 60 pages. In a year, if we are just average, we could author 264 books of over 200 pages just with our words. Now, what would those books say about you? So that's, think about the things that we're saying. Think of all the words you say every day. Now think of a lifetime full of those words. And how many of those words edify or glorify or build up a person or glorify Christ? Think about that just for a minute. How many actually proclaim the glory of the Lord? How many edify other people? How many proclaim your faith in the living God? How many of those words are useless or vain? And so this is, Jesus is getting the Pharisees to see something here. And he says in verse 37, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Now look at that verse. Now think about that. Let that register. Does that seem startling to you that Jesus said that your eternal destiny will be determined by your words? You say, wait a minute, hold on. just process this a minute. What you say will ultimately be the criteria by which God determines your destiny. Your words will determine your justification or your condemnation. That's really what he's saying here. Now, does that shock you? So why did Jesus say this? Because the words we speak reveal our faith in Jesus Christ, whether it is real or whether it is not. That's the, in the context, that's what he's telling the Pharisees. The way you're talking shows you don't believe. Okay? That's what he's telling the Pharisees. So I have to say, okay, wait a minute here. Dan, what's your conversation like? The words you use, do your words show that you've been justified, or do your words that come from your mouth show that you're condemned? How is it I say I believe in Jesus Christ. Well, then my words and my actions should follow that. If I don't believe that Jesus is who he says he is, then guess what? My words and my actions will never look like Christ. And so he's coming hard down on them. In 9 chapters of Matthew, Christ offers himself for salvation. Then in the 10th chapter that we already studied, he calls together men who will assist him in that offer. And in chapters 11 and 12, there is an open rejection of the people towards God. Really, it's a fulfillment of John 1:11. And John 1:11 said, he came to his own and his own received him not. So that's being played out here in the Gospels. Now, if you have all the revelation there is to have about Jesus Christ. Now, I'm just kind of sum up what's happened in the first 12 chapters here. And you have seen the miracles. You had heard his teachings. And you've been exposed to everything there is about him, which they were. And your conclusion is that he is from the devil. And then you reject Christ through your unbelief, you will be condemned. That's what he's saying. Your words show you have no faith in me. Now, it's not that you are damned by your words. It is that you are damned because your words will reveal the corruption of your heart. That's what he's saying. The person literally will speak and show their unbelief in Jesus Christ. Now, I thought about that all week. I'm going, wow, how many people am I around where their conversation, anything they say about the Lord, is either in a cursing way or it's not in a way that honors him. And yet sometimes out of the other side of their mouth say, oh, but I'm a Christian. Can those two go together? No, you can't have a spring can't produce bad water and fresh water at the same time. It's either a poisoned well or it's a good well. And here in our text this morning, he says, look what he says again. Let me read it again. Either make the tree good or its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. Now that's not saying the man can do this. Like, okay, you got to make good fruit out of there. He's implying here, if there's a tree, and the trees are people. Okay, so look at that. Look, if the tree is good, what comes out of a good tree? Good fruit. And if the tree is bad, what comes out of a bad tree? Bad fruit. Brood of vipers, or generation of vipers, your Bible might say. How can you, what does he call them? Be evil. So he recognizes something about these Pharisees because of their unbelief. You are wicked and unbelieving and what? Evil. He says, you being evil, how can you being evil speak good things? He's saying it's an impossibility to do that. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And then here it is, verse 35. A good man out of the good treasure in his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasures brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Now, of course, in our text this morning, this applies here to the unbeliever. Why? Because the Christian sins have already been dealt with at Calvary. That we have to look at that too. Our sins are dealt with at Calvary, amen? But that doesn't give me a license now to use my mouth for wickedness. It's quite the opposite. See, now I can speak words that glorify him where I couldn't do that before. I can use my mouth to edify. I have a decision to make. What's this tongue going to be used for? Now think of all that I said this morning about unacceptable words and speech and how much these things, how we have used our tongues in the past for such wicked stuff. It stops because we're believers. Let our tongues be used to bring praise to Him, to edify one another. Because can you imagine for one moment, if you had to give an account for every useless, barren, vain, unfruitful, unproductive, careless word that you've ever spoken, especially when it comes to Jesus Christ? Can you imagine being held accountable for that? And when the books are open in Revelation and all that's recorded, can you imagine that for one minute, standing before a holy God, give an account for every word you've ever spoken? I want to tell you something. There's things I've said I've forgotten about. But God has not forgotten. But I thank Him for this. Every useless word is washed at the blood of Christ for the believer. But anybody else who does not believe in Jesus Christ, if Christ is not your Savior, then listen to me. Every word that you've ever spoken against Christ, against the things He said, those words are recorded and you will be condemned by them. So let's examine the fruit that comes out of our lips. Amen. Does what I say reflect whether I believe and belong to Christ? If not, then I need to repent. And I need to ask the Lord to use my tongue to bring for His purposes. Father, help us. Lord God, thank You for Your word this morning. And Lord God, I thank You that You change the way I talk. I thank You that what comes from my mouth, Lord God, should always praise You, should always give thanks to You, should always edify. But I thank You, Lord, that You took the cursing away. I thank You, Lord, that You give me a new speech. Thank You, Lord, that You gave me a new vocabulary. And Lord, the words I speak really do show whether I belong to You or not. Help me always to remember that, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. All right, you guys have a great week. Sunday school.